Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls and one ginger. Jared, hello. I see you over there with those gorgeous ginger locks.
Honestly, did you just wash your hair? Because I saw you yesterday and your hair didn't look like this.
I found this new shampoo in the shower and it's Jack's, obviously.
It just appeared, right?
It's
fairies
purple.
Place it there.
I got a purple shampoo sent to me from that Unite brand. They're like a really good hair care brand. And Jared just always uses whatever products I have in the shower without realizing the fact that they're very expensive. Like my $55 face wash, he's just like slathering
all over his face. Like just huge dollop in his hand twice a day.
Yeah, yep. And I'm like, you can't be using these products. They don't last long.
Jared, you need Neutrogena because you need swaths of stuff for your big face.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Jack has this other thing that you gave this to me, right? There's the other, it's the face cleanser stuff that's in there. I use that every time, but I do so much. I don't think that's how you're supposed to use it.
He doesn't know. But anyways, he started using my purple shampoo, which is very expensive as well. Not knowing what it was or what it does. And his hair truly has never looked better.
Honestly, the tones in the blonde are just popping.
Wow.
From that purple balancing. Because I think it's toning, right? The purple?
Yeah, it's supposed to be if you bleach your hair and your hair gets brassy, it tones out the brassiness and gives it the nice icy blonde. But Jared, it is taking away the ginger from your hair.
I didn't know any of this. It came out purple and I was like, ooh, that's fun.
That's a fun color.
And then he didn't also know that you're supposed to wash it out within 60 seconds or else it turns your hair purple. So that was the whole thing.
Honestly, it would be super whimsical if Jared just suddenly had purple lowlights.
Yep.
And he was just flower crowning all through Europe. They're leaving for Europe tomorrow. I'm super bitter. But you could be I think Megan Fox just debuted some pastel pink hair. You could be that.
I know.
I saw that. And I saw that and I was thinking that I might want to try that. So
wait, he was standing by her man's. I was into it.
What was it? Was it a hair extension?
It was either a wig or she dyed her hair. It looked like a wig. Like what Kylie Jenner used to do with her pastel wigs when she would go to Coachella with a teal wig. It looked like that for Machine Gun Kelly's, I think Life in Pink or something is the name of his album. So she's standing with her man.
You know so much.
You have all the info today.
Honestly,
I love it.
Instagram. Yeah. I mean, something popped up on my Explore page. And
you look at one photo of Megan Fox and then you know everything about Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
I feel like that happened to Jared. You had a Machine Gun Kelly Explore page for a while.
That's all it was. Beautiful. And he's kind of whack. But what I'm obsessed with looking at is his before and after his hair plug surgery.
Yes. He got a great hair transplant.
The most dramatic hair transplant I've ever seen, where it's there's hope for anyone.
There really is. You just
can turn money into hair.
That's right.
It's possible.
You can. I know. It's insane. He was really receding, and now he has that big, luscious head of
pink hair,
wannabe
just
hair.
His lady.
Yes. How are we feeling today, guys? What are we drinking?
Great.
I'm back on that Cutwater bullshit, frankly.
I have
She's
a Juneshine.
Oh. Jared's drinking.
Not good.
A charcoal June shine, which, by the way, has a good amount of caffeine in it.
By the way, that is Matt's go-to drink always. He loves those. And they're too sweet for me.
Oh, they're so good. The charcoal one's really good when you have a hangover.
Yeah.
Oh, it says flip can to activate. I just saw that.
You're supposed to put them in the fridge upside down.
All the charcoal's at the bottom.
And then you're
Does that mean
flip
at the
it.
End I'm just going to just get a bunch of dirt in my mouth?
Yeah, that's right.
It's nice. It's sediment.
Santa came.
Yeah, a natural wine.
It's like the present right at the end. It's like when you have one of those cones, there's chocolate at the bottom, you know?
That's
right. The best cone.
Exactly. All right, well, should I go into the dark day today?
I think so.
Okay, so today is July 7th. On July 7th of 1996, Nelson Mandela steps down as the president of South Africa. So he was on this television broadcast and he confirmed rumors that he would not stand for re-election in 1999. He initially said this when he was sworn in as the country's first democratic president in 1994. Huge, huge, huge.
Big.
Big. And the South African Constitution has a stipulation that states that the president can only serve for two terms as the head of state, kind of like we do here.
Sure.
But he felt that one term was enough as he had already laid the foundation for a better future for all. So amazing.
Yeah.
But the funny thing when it comes to, and of course, this isn't a dark day. That wasn't a dark day. But with Nelson Mandela, I had mentioned this to Alexis at brunch recently.
Yes.
That I was like, I really, really want to do a Mandela Effect episode because I find the Mandela Effect so fascinating. I've done so many deep dives into it. And then once I started researching for this next episode, it just happened. And I'm like, this is a sign from the universe. And there are a lot of things with the Mandela Effect that maybe it has something to do with parallel universes, glitches in the matrix. So I'm taking that as a sign.
I love that. And I'm super excited that Jack has sort of made Killing Time her outlet for all the things she's super curious about and has this sincere interest in.
Yeah.
And she's really like shown. And she was like, she was very excited to delve into the Mandela Effect. And I was super excited too, because I know nothing. So she's going to be completely educating me on this from start to finish, because I have no idea what it's about.
It only further enhances her belief that we're in a simulation. So
it really does.
Yeah.
Can a world this nightmarish be real? Like, this simulation is somebody's deranged idea. This is like a video game. I mean, it can't be. It can't be.
The simulation is failing us, and we're just really experiencing it in real time. But, you know, what can you do? You just got to make the most of your time when you're here and, like,
plan as many vacations as you can, fall in love as many times as you can, and build the best life you can while you can.
I love it. It's a little bit of optimistic nihilism that we have adopted as, I feel like, a friendship group.
That's right.
But anyways, we're going to dive into the Mandela Effect. I'm really excited about this, and I can't wait to get to it. But before then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We're either defending it or we're prosecuting it. Whatever is really on our mind that week. Maybe we had a weird experience that really grinded our gears. Maybe we're just like really loving something right now that other people don't seem to value. So who's going first?
I'm going to go first.
You're going to go first? Okay, go ahead.
I almost never do.
Okay.
But it's been a strange couple weeks. I don't know if I've mentioned it on this podcast. I did when we talked about it when you had me on Lady Gang. But
yeah.
My boyfriend Matt and I are moving in together. But our condo is under construction.
Mm-hmm.
So we're currently staying at the First Degree office, which mm-hmm. is my former apartment. And we're learning a lot of interesting things about each other in this process. He's displaced. Like, I'm in a comfortable area for me because I've lived at this place before. He's sort of out of sorts.
Yeah.
And he observed me doing dishes the other day. And he was like, I cannot believe you don't have a sponge. I cannot believe you don't have a sponge. And I was like, sponges are disgusting.
Yes.
What I have is a scrubby. Yes. I have two scrubbies.
Scrub daddy?
Not a scrub daddy, because it's sort of like a sponge, that scrub daddy. But what I have is a scrubby that has like a compartment that you put soap in. And then as you scrub, the soap comes out. I have two variations of this. And he's like, these things don't get things clean. And I was like, sponges deposit bacteria all over things.
Yes.
And they smell. When you put it in your hand and you squeeze it, then your hand smells like all day. Like, I don't fuck with sponges. So what I'm putting on the stand is our sponges. And I feel like there are two schools of thought. People are either like, you don't have a sponge, you're a sick, sick lady. Mm-hmm. Or like, you have a sponge, you're depositing bacteria and E. coli all over your kitchen. Like, I mean, and I am repulsed by the idea of a sponge. So I'm prosecuting sponges and defending scrubbies filled with soap.
I
am going to be the minority in this. I already know this because...
Men love sponges.
Men love sponges.
And women are repulsed by them.
Yes. This has been, not all women. I think that, not all women. I think this, sponges are as divisive as cilantro. Like, it's a very divisive thing.
Washing
people
legs.
Are passionate. And washing legs. Like, people are passionate about their stance, and everybody has a very strong stance on it. Jared and I have had many arguments about it because I'm also disgusted by sponges. I think I have an actual sponge phobia. I would rather do anything than touch. And also, I have a little bit of phobia of dirty dishes. I would rather clean a disgusting toilet with my bare hands than I would to clean a dirty dish.
You did
with
lose
food
me there.
That's been sitting on it for. I'm so scared of dirty food. Sorry, no, Jared. Go ahead. He wants to talk.
Go ahead, Jared.
Okay. Let us be very clear here. Okay. Same situation when I moved out to LA, right? Because I moved in with Jack at this apartment. This was a couple years ago.
His office is literally in our living room.
That's where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah.
So when I came out here, first off, Jack is not a kitchen person. Okay. No. Jack doesn't cook.
Jack didn't have a can opener when we were trying to make dip one day. And our friend had to order Jack one online to come the
next
day.
I got out here.
Yeah.
Our drawers were full of leggings and clothes in the kitchen. Yeah. Okay.
Where all the kitchen supplies went was leggings.
So for Jack to take the stance of like, I don't want to use a sponge.
Sponges are gross.
Jack's never going to need to use a sponge. She's not making food. She's not cleaning dishes. It's not happening. Okay. For someone who does this all the time, a sponge to me is a very useful tool.
What about a scrubby or a paper towel? Throw the bacteria away.
But then, the paper towel thing is wasteful because using a paper towel, what you need is you need about 5 dish rags that you cycle and you put in the laundry so that you're routinely having a clean one to pull out. You don't leave them out with bacteria on them. You toss it into the dirty laundry that you're going to wash at the end of the week. You have
then
like maybe 5
of them.
They swell
all of your clothes.
I'm okay with dish rags.
You wash them together. You don't wash them with your clothes. You do like a small load and you wash them together.
They smell different.
You guys have a washer and dryer in your unit, so wash them separately, Jack.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't have dish rags, by the way.
You don't even have dish rags?
We have a sponge with what you're talking about with the soap attached to it, but there's still a sponge on it.
A sponge or a scrubby?
It's a sponge that has like a little handle that soap goes in and it deposits the soap into the sponge.
No, but it still has a spongy. No.
Bacteria still
sponge. But you discard that every like couple of days. You don't let it get to that point where it's really gross. You swap it out.
The sponge?
Well, we don't cook that much. I never really use it.
Well, men love sponges and women see the truth is what I've gleaned from this situation.
Men love a sponge because men don't but this is the thing. Jared's a very clean person.
So is Matt.
I feel like he would be usually disgusted by something as so bacteria filled as a sponge.
Grew up using sponges and throwing them away every, let's say, 2 days, 2 to 3 days.
That seems more wasteful than using a paper towel.
They smell like mildew after 30 seconds of use.
Yes.
But a sponge isn't a paper product.
And whatever. You're still.
What is it?
It's going in the landfill and it's going into the ocean at some point.
Yeah, I don't have like a defense here. I'm used to a sponge.
I can't wait for the Facebook group to get a hold of this one because I have a feeling women everywhere will be like, my husband too loves a sponge.
Yeah.
And hate the sponge. But like, it seems so clear once I realized it, like, that's what I needed to bring to the stand because I feel like it is the most divisive, domestic topic.
Yes.
To exist, frankly.
I agree. And I say that sponges are guilty as charged.
Innocent.
Overruled.
I'm sorry, ladies. I'm sorry.
Overruled.
All right. Jared, do you want to go?
Sure. Mine's a pretty simple one today. So we bought goldfish today from, so we were at CVS earlier.
Goldfish
we
crackers?
Always, yeah, the little goldfish.
Pepperidge
like,
Farm?
You know. Yeah, mm-hmm. Pepperidge Farm.
We love a goldfish.
Not an ad.
We do. Oh, we get them all the time.
I love goldfish.
It's a great little snack, you know? But I think Jack and I differ on this. I love a flavor blasted goldfish.
Nope.
I love a flavor blasted anything. I love it when you take what it is and you take it up to the next level and you blast it. Whatever. If they could do, like, you know that one Dorito in every bag that's got, like, all the dust on it and everyone's trying to find it? Do you guys try to find it or no?
Yes, but that is the flavor that we've all known Doritos to be.
Yes.
You know, but like goldfish, I hate when they mess with the OG goldfish flavor.
Hold on. To be clear, what I'm putting on the stand is
flavor blasted.
No, with anything. Is it the original or is it the enhanced version? Are you a purist when it comes to flavor blasting?
So that's what I was going to say. I'm a purist when it comes to snacks. I want the original goldfish. I want the original Cheez-It. I don't want the baked or the super cheddar or the whatever. Like, I love things as they come and as they have gained popularity in modern society. Like, that is the core of what these snacks are. And I stick by that.
I agree, and I don't like people fucking with my ratios either. I don't want a giant Oreo. I don't want little mini Oreos. I want an Oreo that I was promised from the beginning. I don't want a giant Cheez-It, a Cheez-It cracker. I want a teeny, like, I want the original ratio that I fell in love with. And I think snacks have so much to do with people's nostalgia as well.
Yes.
Where it's like, it could be just as, if I had met the giant Oreo, the Thanksgiving, or what was it? Or is it a peanut butter cup? The Reese's giant Thanksgiving peanut butter cup.
Yeah.
If that is what I had met first, maybe that's what I would love, but it isn't. I want a regular cup.
All right. Okay.
I agree.
I'm 0 for 2 then. I'm 0 for 2 here.
Yeah. Well, men are wrong like a lot.
We're learning that. Guilty.
Guilty.
Not guilty.
Overruled.
Not that it matters.
Okay, so what I'm putting on the stand is, again, something from our Portland trip, which is weird because this is now 2 months later, and I'm
It was
somehow,
a really fun trip.
We I can't know, stop thinking about it.
It took a lot of time to process, and now I can really talk about it. But I've been traveling a lot. Jared's been traveling a lot. We've been going to a lot of different airports, a lot of different hotels, a lot of different establishments where we're lugging around wheeled luggage. And what I am putting on the stand is carpets. Carpets specifically in airports. I don't know if you remember, Alexis, but the Portland airport was completely carpet. There were walkways that you're going uphill with carpet that you need to be lugging your 60-pound luggage off of. And it was, I don't understand the point. Why do you not just make it a solid ground? Why must you use carpet? You know?
Yeah. And the only answer to that I could conceive of is financial. Financial reasons, like, because carpet is cheaper than laying tile, carpet's cheaper than linoleum. I'm sure, like, a cheap carpet, it's just easier for a child. They're like liability. If a child falls, we won't be sued. Unfortunately, that is the world we live in.
But an airport, I feel like, as we've learned, 10% of the airport's budget goes to artwork. I feel like they could take some of that budget and put down a cheap linoleum ground. Even in nice hotels in Vegas, other nice hotels I've been in, not in Vegas, they still have the carpet. And I feel like it's more expensive to try to clean this carpet and upkeep it than it is to just buy a cheap wood floor, fake wood floor.
You're going to get in trouble with all the carpet heads out there, because I don't know if you knew this, but
what?
The Nashville airport has carpet and it's famous.
The carpet's famous?
Famous for carpet, what?
The carpet in the Nashville airport is famous.
I've for never being heard this a carpet before. Or for being bad?
Here it says, why is Nashville Airport carpet famous? It was designed to be a visualization of music. It says, the new carpet is something we had designers pull together that reflects all the colors of Tennessee from the central region to the east and west sides. People do all kinds of stuff on Instagram related to the carpet at the Nashville airport. They love it. They worship this carpet.
They love
it. So be careful. I'm just saying, there's a lot of people that love that carpet.
I've got I looked at the, I'm Google imaging the carpet. It is so hideous, but somebody did create a sweatshirt with the pattern
I
on
see
it.
That. It's the third image.
I'm Jared's like ordering and bought.
And socks.
I will buy that.
And a cup. So
that hoodie's kind of, that's kind of sick.
Wow, there's lots of stuff. It's so ugly.
But as a function, it's a horrible idea. It sucks to roll your luggage over. And honestly, disgusting. Like, think about all the, like, it doesn't matter how much you shampoo that carpet, it's going to be disgusting no matter what you do.
You know, though, the more mature I get, the more I realize that, like, decisions like that sometimes fall on the shoulders of, like, contractors who don't fucking care.
That's
like,
true.
Carpet would be cheaper. And they're like, cool, that sounds good. No one's, like, there's not a creative director, like, whatever. And you want to hear something fascinating that I've learned on my renovation adventure? We have, like, wood floors, and we had to break down a wall. And we learned that the person who put the wood floors down put it down over the carpet. They didn't rip the carpet up.
That is so insane. And I don't want to know what's living under there.
I was flabbergasted. I was like, they put wood floor over shag carpet. They didn't even rip it up. And like the contractor was like, the only thing I can think of is that because it's a condo, maybe they did it for soundproofing.
Yeah.
Right.
That's but what like, I would say, but over shag, that's so weird. You would think on like a mat carpet.
They did it because of laziness. They did it because of laziness. This is not. It was, but so I'm telling you, sometimes the creative direction goes out the window and the contractor just picks the cheapest option. And there's really no thought behind something like putting carpet in an airport.
Then you get the famous Nashville carpet.
They're just not thinking of poor old Jack lugging her 90-pound suitcase up that slight incline.
It's not my fault I overpacked, you know? It's just, it happens to me.
I checked a bag for that trip, so I'm with you.
That's true. Okay, well, I'm saying guilty. I can't deal.
Guilty.
All right.
We can agree on this one at least.
Great. All right, well, when we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, so welcome to True Crime Rewind. We are diving into the Mandela Effect.
I am so excited because I don't know what to expect because in the outline it said, Alexis, don't read. And so I didn't. I shut that shit down because I'm like, one less thing to do, frankly. Great. I'm ready to get schools. I'm ready to learn.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the Mandela Effect and what it is specifically. So the Mandela Effect is when many people believe that something happened when in reality it never did. But all of these people, it's like a collective consciousness. They all believe that it happened for some reason or another. And it was coined because a mass collective of false memory from a bunch of different people remember that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 80s, but in fact, he really died at his home in 2013. And the term was coined by this lady named Fiona Broom, who was a self-proclaimed paranormal consultant, which is...
This is an interesting person.
Very strange, but like, I'm into it. After she became aware that other people shared her recollection of Mandela dying while incarcerated. And of course, again, he died at his home in 2013. And now it's kind of used to describe this collective false memory that though it's completely false, everybody kind of believes that these certain things are true. So
fascinating.
So we're going to get into false memories because I kind of had this realization that a lot of my memories from childhood never really happened. And that's like my own personal false memory. But of course, like the Mandela Effect is a false memory of like a lot of people. The time that really like kicked this like thought off in my mind that I made up is it was on my other podcast, The Lady Gang. We were talking about pets that we had as kids. And I was telling the story about how I had a pet eel when I was a little kid.
Is that true?
I got like a little eel from the pet store. It was like a little mini kind of eel, maybe like 2 inches long. And I remember having it in my fish tank and I remember like naming him Steve or something like that. And I distinctly remember this pet eel. So I talked about it on the podcast. Now, my parents sometimes listen to both of our podcasts, and they happen to be listening to this Lady Gang episode, and they're coming to visit me that day. And my mom, we're at dinner, and she was like, Jacqueline, you never had a pet eel. She's like, what the fuck was that story that you were telling? And I was like, yes, I did. She's like, and my dad was there too. He was like, no, you didn't. He was like, you never had anything resembling a pet eel. You never had, like, you had, like, a pet goldfish maybe once. And I remember having this big, like, fish tank with my little pet eel in it, like, sitting in my parents' kitchen. And none of that existed. So that was, like, my own Mandela Effect that I made up for my own.
And you had to look it right in the face. But, like, what's fascinating about a story like this is that there's no intentional lie because this doesn't benefit you to have had a pet eel. Like, mm-mm. There's no, mm-hmm. You always have to look at the motive of a lie. Right. And it's like, that doesn't make you cooler, doesn't give you more credibility. It doesn't, like, you have nothing to gain by lying.
Right.
But you were truly convinced. And I think that's the difference with people. It's like, you always have to look at what does the lie benefit? How does the lie benefit someone? And that can really help you discern whether or not it's a Mandela Effect type thing or somebody's fucking lying for leverage and to move themselves in some sort of mobility sense.
Yeah.
It feels like it could have started in like fifth grade. Like that would be a cool thing to lie about as a fifth grader.
I
have a pet eel. You know what I'm saying? Like you created your own reality. This can happen.
But maybe you could have an eel. Like I think our subconscious witnesses, they do things that are hard to explain. And if we could connect the psychology and we could connect our subconscious to them and like to these lies we invent, to these stories we invent, we could probably learn a lot about ourselves. You know, for some reason, your brain needed that to be true.
I know.
And for what? To what end? There's no reason to say, like, there's no motive here.
I know. I don't know. Maybe that's like maybe that's a story for a therapist one day. Like, what does an eel mean? Like,
well,
what does it
what
represent?
What I will say is that eels are phallic.
They
so
are
I'm
phallic.
Gonna start with that, Jared.
So yeah,
they are.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot
Thank
to dive
you,
into
Alexis.
That. Okay, yeah. We're gonna move forward. We're gonna go through some examples of things that people have gotten wrong. Now,
I can't wait.
I don't know if either of you watched the show as a kid. I didn't, so I don't personally know, like, resonate with this. But did either of you watch the Berenstain Bears?
Absolutely,
yes.
I did.
Okay.
Their treehouse?
Now, do you
know?
Do
they have a treehouse?
I think that, yes. Yeah, I think, well, okay. There's a tree. It's pretty hazy in my mind now.
I read the books for sure.
The books are what I had, were the books growing up. So.
Okay, so did you remember it as being the Berenstain Bears or the Berenstain Bears?
Berenstain.
It's the E-I-N. Baron. It's Berenstain. A-I-N. And this is the Berenstain Bears is what kind of kicked off this whole Mandela effect into pop culture, because everybody remembers it as Berenstain Bears. And even in like their opening song or whatever, they say Berenstain Bears for one part and they say Berenstain Bears. But everybody remembers. They're like, I had a book and it said Berenstain Bears on it, like E-I-N. So that was like the first thing that like.
That's unnerving, frankly.
Yep. I remember seeing those.
I feel betrayed.
I can like picture it if I close my eyes, like the cover of the book. And
yeah.
I mean, years ago when you started learning about this whole like effect, I found that out and it shattered everything.
Okay, next one. Curious George. This is a visual. Which
yeah,
one is real?
I recognize him.
Yeah. Which one is actual Curious George? Does he have a tail or is he no tail?
I'm going to go with probably no tail, just because it seems like the more unlikely choice, but not.
I see him as the, with the tail.
With the
I
tail?
Mean, in my mind, yeah.
Curious George never had a tail, which I think is crazy because like all monkeys have a tail.
Trust me, my instinct was to say with tail. Monkeys should have tail, but I just
you're going
given
against
the context. I feel
answer.
Like yeah.
I know.
Okay, next one is Febreze. Now, what do you remember Febreze as being spelt by? One E or two?
Two.
Two.
Febreze only has one E.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
How?
Febreze?
That's not
Febreze?
That's not like phonetically sound.
Febreze. Next, do you remember Skechers? It's the S, you know, shoes of our childhood. Does Skechers have a T or no T?
My instinct is to say T.
But my instinct is to say T as well, but I think given
no,
the context.
Skechers, no T.
That's crazy.
Okay, next is, so there's some visuals and then we're going to go to the audio, which I think, and then there's some special ones for Jared. Okay, next one is the Monopoly man? Monopoly guy. Did Monopoly guy have a monocle or no monocle?
Monocle. No monocle. No monocle. Monocle.
Monocle.
No monocle.
No monocle. Next, Fruit of the Loom, cornucopia or no cornucopia?
Cornucopia for sure.
No cornucopia.
Didn't have a cornucopia. Isn't that crazy? Fruit of the Loom, I think everybody remembers it as the cornucopia was there.
How was that? There had to have been something. That had to have been like an
what
old logo, right?
The fruit. The fruit can't be unruly.
This is an unruly fruit on the...
It looks unfinished.
I'm offended.
That doesn't look like the logo.
I'm honestly offended by it.
Like, the cornucopia really finishes off the graphic design.
That is so bizarrely specific,
honestly,
but it feels right to have that behind the fruit.
It feels like Thanksgiving suddenly, in a good way.
I know. Yeah. Okay, next one. Our favorite snack, Cheez-Its. Did you know that it's just Cheez-It?
What?
Cheez-Its has no Z.
I did know that.
That one fucked me up.
But honestly, you could have tricked me.
You say
me.
Cheez-Its. You say Cheez-Its.
Well, because I'm not having just one.
You never eat just one. Yeah.
I'm having several. I'm having dozens.
You have dozens.
At a time.
Okay, now, Jared, here there are a few Star Wars things for you.
Oh, no. I'm going to get
what?
Blasted by the Star Wars heads. Let's go.
Do you remember, like, C-3PO, obviously?
Of course I do.
Do you remember anything?
About his? Yeah, are you talking about how he had a silver arm?
Okay. Nope, it's a silver leg. Silver leg. Everybody just thought he was like completely gold. Now, this is like a big one in Star Wars. Like, what is Darth Vader's famous line?
Everybody thinks it's Luke, I am your father, but it's really, no, I am your father.
He never said, Luke, I am your father.
Yeah.
Isn't that
just... He said, I am your father. I am your father.
No, I am your father. Right? Does he say no?
He just said, yeah, no, I am your father.
Yeah.
Well, only a true nerd would not get tricked by the Mandela effect.
I feel better about myself.
I know. He got that one. Okay. When you think of the color chartreuse, what color is that to you?
It's like a teal.
A sage green. Or like maybe a periwinkle blue.
Okay. Purple. You guys are right. But it's like a lime green kind of a color.
Yeah.
But the Mandela effect of it all is everybody remembers it as being like this wine burgundy.
I remember it as like a purple, maybe purple or sage.
Yes. Yes.
The name, it feels like it's like a wine, so I can see that.
You know, like, I remember chartreuse had a moment in fashion recently.
Yes.
And like, I remember seeing and they're like, that's chartreuse. And it was like a hot yellow. And I was like, what?
Yeah, like a neon green. You're like, this is not what I was expecting for chartreuse.
No, I thought it was sage or periwinkle.
Those are two completely different colors.
It's one or the other, though.
And that was neither of the ones that belonged on the Mandela effect.
That's how I feel.
Okay, so I'm going to end with this one. You guys remember the movie Risky Business and the iconic scene of Tom Cruise
in his underwear
sliding through. Now, did you know that Tom Cruise, when you think of the costume that Tom Cruise is wearing, like if you're going to be Tom Cruise in Risky Business for a Halloween costume, like what are you wearing?
Underwear,
you're wearing
a dress
big,
shirt.
Oversized white shirt. You're wearing like briefs and you're wearing white socks and sunglasses.
Yep, Ray-Bans.
Ray-Bans, Wayfarers.
Tom Cruise never had sunglasses on. That is something that we
that
have just
is a
made
betrayal.
Up. That like or existed in a parallel timeline, never wore sunglasses. And I feel like that's one of the biggest examples of Mandela effects is I can't like I remember
see it
the sunglasses.
Yeah, me too.
Jared, are you okay?
No, I'm just like, in my head, I'm picturing the scene where he slides in and I feel like he definitely has sunglasses on. I'm going to have to go back and watch it. Now, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love to be proved wrong. I mean, it hurts, but it's needed.
It does hurt. I don't like it.
You got to get knocked down a peg a little bit. Well, those are the most interesting Mandela effect examples that I have seen, but they're happening all around us. If you check TikTok, there's a lot of shit on there that I am just loving right now. So if you want to get like a little bit more of your Mandela effect on, go search Mandela effect on TikTok. But now it is time to get into the worsty firsties.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Come one, come all. Welcome to the reckoning of your life. We are going to do what we do. We're going to make you feel better about your misdeeds. Mm-hmm. So we're going to just dive right into it. So here is our first one. And I'm always fascinated. I briefly listen to them and I read the transcription of them and I label them. And I labeled this one Greek God.
Oh my God.
So I'm always like, and I barely remember by the time it's time to delve into these. So I'm always like, what are we about to hear? So Greek God, let's go.
Hi. So this is, it is probably one of the worst things I've ever done, but it is so harmless and innocuous and everything else. But I still think about it and it weighs on my mind. So I'm going to tell the story. When I was in college, there was this guy at the school who I was a freshman. He was a senior and he was just a beautiful person, like a Greek god. Like he was a soccer player, tanned and oh, he was very beautiful. And I'm not trying to objectify him. He was just a very beautiful man. And as a lowly freshman, I didn't have cause for a lot of interaction with him, but one of my close friends did, I can't remember why, and she developed an enormous crush on him, like a real crush. Like they talked a lot. She thought she kind of had a chance with him. So it was his birthday. And we were talking, and she's like, I just want to, like, get his attention and let him know, like, I want to be more than friends. And I was like, you know what would be really funny is if we pulled a big prank on him, made him laugh, and then you can, you know, you'll be remembered by him, and you can kind of go from there. I don't know. I was a freshman in college. I was dumb. So we came up with the idea of getting to his car. He never locked his car, and we wanted to fill it with packing peanuts, like from a place you mail stuff. So we spent quite a bit of money on bags and bags of these packing peanuts. We filled his little car. He had a little Ford Escort. We filled it to the brim with packing peanuts. We were able to, we had the windows still cracked a little bit, so that it took kind of a long time, but by the end we filled it by just kind of like stuffing a little bit in those cracks even. It was ridiculous. And his car was parked right outside our dorm window, my dorm window. So we were like, let's, you know, come in the morning when we knew he'd be leaving, and we would watch and see what happened. We thought he would think it was funny, and he would think we were cute and clever, and my friend would maybe have a chance with him. That did not happen. I was woken up in the night by screaming, I'm so sorry, it was early morning. And I should have said, we knew he had a job at a factory in the morning. He always went to at 5 a.m. Again, stupid of us. He was screaming and swearing, and we were like, yeah, we can't tell him we did this. So little peanuts, we see him out there in the early morning hours. He is packing garbage bags full of this stuff, still swearing, and he's like, I'm going to be late for it, like completely talking to himself. It was horrible. That's how mad he was. And we were like, should we go offer to help him? And I was like, no, we can't put ourselves in that position. And throughout the rest of the day, we were in a very small town. We knew where he had been because we saw little peanuts at the post office, and we saw peanuts at the, I can't remember all the places, but we saw like where he'd been, because there'd be like a collection of peanuts in a corner there. This guy was also like meticulously clean, and that's why we thought this would be an extra funny prank. So he was talking about it everywhere. He was like, who did this? I want to know. We did not tell him for a very long time. We eventually told him, like, months later. He still didn't think it was funny. And I get it, and I feel bad. He was late for work. It was his birthday. I don't even know if I mentioned it was his birthday. It was just one of those things where it was going to be this harmless little funny thing to get his attention, and it really backfired on us and really made his day terrible. And I think of it now, and I'm like, that was kind of funny, but it did not go well for us. Anyway, horrible thing we did.
I have so many thoughts. I cannot wait. First of all, this is hysterical, and oh my God, he is a curmudgeon, and you have nothing to feel bad about, because you know what? I wish someone had tried to get my attention this way, like when they had unrequited feelings, because what men used to do to me is just be fucking mean.
Yeah.
When it was like, hey, you suck, Alexis. And it's like they had a secret crush on me, and then they would be fucking mean. Like, put some fucking packing peanuts in my car. Make me feel special.
It's a victimless crime. And honestly,
it's hysterically funny.
My favorite part of the story is how they could tell where he's gone, because there is a little trail of packing peanuts behind him.
You left a trail of peanuts. It's my favorite thing ever.
Honestly, it's so wholesome. Like, I wish more of our calls were like this, because this is so pure and also funny and well thought out. And like, if I was a man, if a woman had this good a sense of humor, her and her friend, I would be attracted. I'd be have probably immediate sexual lust for the person who has a really good sense of humor.
Yeah, they have a good sense of humor. And honestly, like, I'm sure that she learned that this isn't the guy for her.
Yeah, no one wants a fucking stick in the mud who doesn't think anything funny is funny.
Yeah, fuck him.
Right, Jared?
Right. And I think pranking somebody, you got to be aware that that's going to go one of two ways. It's going to, I mean, it's a 50-50.
But you'll learn if they're your person or not. Because if you are a prankster and if your potential love interest is not down for a prank, then that's a miscommunication and a mismatch.
Yep.
I also think there's a difference between a mean prank and a funny prank. Like, I don't think mean pranks are funny. Like, I don't want to be mean pranked ever.
No.
You know, mean pranks are fucking mean. Pranks that embarrass people, pranks that shame people. I don't think any of those are funny. Pranks that cost people money, not funny.
No.
This...
silly.
College prank. Silly. Truly harmless. You know, being late for work one day is not worth, like, thinking the world's out to get you. Everything's bad. Like, your prank was funny. He is just not funny.
He'll be fine.
That's right. Do we have time for another one?
Sure.
Hi, Alexis and Jack. I wanted to call to give my firstie worstie. Admittedly, this isn't the worst thing I've ever done, but I have to say it's like one of the pettiest things that I've ever done, and I'm really proud of it. So I moved in with a roommate in like late 2019, and then shit hit the fan, you know, pandemic. And so we ended up getting quarantined together. But before lockdown started, we were like, oh my God, we have to go get puzzles. So we went to like our local store and got like a bunch of puzzles, and she paid for them, but then we like decided that we were just gonna have a puzzle table and just do puzzles all the time. But then like in like mid 2020, after we had previously discussed that we were gonna like renew our lease and like stay where we were because it was like a gorgeous apartment, she all of a sudden just was like, no, I'm moving out, like I'm not going to continue this lease. And I was like, well, what the hell, like this was our plan. And she started to get like really just standoffish and just became a horrible person. So she had bought the puzzles and I decided to steal 3 pieces from each of the like 5-ish puzzles that she bought and destroy them. And now she has puzzles that she'll never be able to complete. And it's because she pissed me off and we were supposed to continue our lease and she decided she didn't want to and didn't really give me much notice. So I ended up having to move into like a not great apartment because it was a last minute thing, but not the worst thing I've ever done, but just petty. And it makes me so happy thinking that this bitch will never be able to complete her puzzle again. That's it. Have a good one.
So it really is the little victories in life. Yeah. And again, a victimless crime, because listen, this woman, I don't know who's right. You could be the crazy one, you know, like we don't know who the bad person is in this scenario. And it truly doesn't matter because you feel slighted and yeah. You got your revenge. And that's all that matters. And your revenge is kind of harmless because the puzzles are like $5.99 at the grocery store. And you probably know that your roommate is like neurotic and this is going to bother her.
These stories are the type of stories that I feel like the worsty firsty is made for.
Yes.
I think these type of petty, victimless, it's fucked up. Like, that is going to ruin her day, but, like, it's so victimless and it's so good and so petty. And then also, like, the guy from last week that, like, it was the most heartbreaking, heartwarming Ugh. Story ever about how the one that got away. And then, like, the other side of the coin is maybe if somebody's, like, confessing a murder to us. Like, those are the 3 tiers of the worsty firsty, and this one really fulfills the pettiness. And it reminds me of like those TikTokers that are like the puzzle TikTokers.
Yeah.
And they like lifting their puzzle up once they're done. Like that's their whole.
They like decoupage over it and they make it an art piece.
Yeah.
Like they're like really into it.
Yeah. This is like some people's lives. And the fact that you really threw a wrench into it. And if she deserves it, then she deserves it, you know?
You know, though, Go ahead, Jared.
We're all the villain at some point. And honestly,
we're all the villain in someone's story. Yeah.
I was just gonna say we're all like the worst person in the world to somebody.
Yeah.
Like nobody's innocent. No one's perfect. She is the villain in your story, and you're the villain in hers. And
in her puzzle.
There are two sides to every story. But what I will say is that I have been blessed with a sister. Her name's Sophia, who is the most, like, sort of neurotic person in the world. And I can appreciate that if I had done this to her, how it would plague her. Like, she loves symmetry, and it would plague her, you know? And not in a way that would destroy her life, but just in a way that would, like, gnaw at her. So, like, you knew what you were doing. But it's also okay if you felt slighted. Like, listen, I'm learning about vindication and I'm learning about revenge as an adult. And there's always this constant fight to, like, be above it and not engage in it. Mm-hmm. And it's these little, like, jabs that we can – that we do and can deliver that can, like, relieve us from doing something insane. Sometimes we need some sort of fucking relief from feeling slighted.
Yeah.
And stealing puzzle pieces is the lesser of the evils, I think.
It reminds me of, I think it was in the beginning that we're doing Killing Time, that somebody had called in about how they would steal cards from CVS, like greeting cards.
Yeah.
And it was that she was like, I just needed it. Like, I needed the rush. I needed the release.
And it would never amount to any larceny worth charging.
No.
Like, no one would ever charge her. But, like, it is wrong. But, like, for her, that was her little act of rebellion. Not that we're saying it's okay to ever steal.
No.
But, like, for her, that stopped her from doing something more extreme.
Yes. Right. Oh, so good.
Fascinating. People are fat. They never, you know, they never fail to fascinate me, you people. I love you guys so much.
You people. All right, Alexis, do you have our Costanza stanza of the night?
Okay. Again, untitled.
Okay.
This is George Costanza processing sort of the Mandela effect.
Okay.
False memory or lies? Only you can surmise. Did it happen or did it not? Was it a complete fabrication of a thought? These questions bring me back to my mantra, that's a fact. Ooh. The Mandela effect is real if you could only see it. And again, and again, and again, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Oh, my God.
I knew that's how it would end. Dude. I love it.
It plays right in. It plays right in.
It's perfect.
Yes.
Snap, snap, snaps. Bye, guys.
Bye, friends.
Bye.